Do you need a break? What would you give for rest, for proper rest? It might feel like it's a strange time to ask that question. We're in the middle of the last long weekend of the summer. For many of us, the year hasn't even properly started yet. But do you feel rested? How often do you have a holiday and you get back to work and by Friday of the first week, you can't even remember you had a holiday? Or you get back and what do you say? Oh, I need a holiday to get over my holiday. It wasn't rest, it was just another type of busy. Or maybe even the idea of a rest sounds like wishful thinking. You haven't had a holiday in years, or you've entered retirement only to find you're busier than ever. Do you need rest? Today we're going to hear Jesus deal with the Sabbath, with rest. As we've been meeting Jesus, we've been asking the question, who is he? And we've been seeing the conflict brewing. Last week we saw the conflict was over Jesus' claim to have authority to forgive sin. The conflict grew when Jesus didn't only forgive sinners, but would dare eat with them. And the last thing we heard Jesus say is how you can't just patch on the new thing to the old thing. You can't just patch it on. He is the new cloth you can't patch on to the old clothes. He is the new wine you can't pour into the old wineskins. Last week we saw that this newness is to do with forgiveness. Today, the new thing Jesus brings is to do with Sabbath rest. But before we get to Jesus, we've got to do a brief overview of what the Old Testament says about the Sabbath so we can understand what Jesus is saying. For God's people Israel, having a break, resting, was the law. Their word for it was Sabbath, which means stop or rest. The first time we hear of Sabbath in the Bible is after the Exodus. The first time a Sabbath day is mentioned is after Moses leads the people out of Egypt, and it's when God sends manna, bread from heaven. And with the manna, God says, 5 days a week, collect enough for one day, but on the sixth day, collect double. Because the seventh day is a day of rest, the Sabbath, and on that day, no collecting food, no cooking food, it's a day of rest. So Exodus 16:26 says, 6 days you are to gather it, the manna, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. There's not going to be any because it's a day of rest. So what begins here in the wilderness becomes a more general rule and was explained when God gave the Ten Commandments. So Moses goes up Mount Sinai and God writes Israel's law on stone. The Ten Commandments are listed twice in the Old Testament, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. The interesting thing about Sabbath and the Sabbath commandment is the explanation of the law develops from Exodus to Deuteronomy. In Exodus, the reason for the one day of rest each week is tied to God's rest at the end of creating. In Deuteronomy, the reason for the day of rest is tied to God's rescue of Israel from slavery. So let's listen to Exodus first. I'll put it up on the screen for you. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus says the reason for remembering the Sabbath, is for resting on the seventh day, is because God rested on the seventh day. the reason God created the universe isn't to get stuck in an endless cycle of work. He made the world for rest. For Israel, this meant they did have a cycle. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest, and then another 6 days of work, and on and on. But the point of the law wasn't the endless cycle, but to point to the goal of creation, resting in relationship with God. In Deuteronomy, it teaches the same truth, but it points to a different event. So God says in Deuteronomy, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. And it keeps going, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So Deuteronomy is pointing to a different event, God's rescue, but it's actually making the same point. Israel is to observe the Sabbath because it teaches them God's goal is freedom. God's goal is the end of slavery, oppression, and bondage. His goal for creation is rest and relationship with Him. This is incredible, I think, for us. We live in a world that is all about work. What do our politicians promise us? Jobs and growth. Work. More productive work, more profitable work, an endless cycle. God tells Israel, I've done the work so you can enjoy rest. But because of sin, this doesn't work out. In the prophets, God is frustrated with his people. He's angry and condemns them for desecrating the Sabbath. So a long time after Moses, the prophet Jeremiah warned people about breaking Sabbath. What he warned them about was working on the Sabbath. So Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says, be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your houses or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your ancestors. God said it through the prophet Jeremiah, but the people didn't listen. Isaiah also warned about desecrating the Sabbath. In Isaiah 1:13, God says, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Why can God not bear their Sabbaths? Why have they become detestable to him? Isaiah tells us, in his situation, it's not because they're doing the dishes on Saturday. It's a deeper problem. They might be religiously keeping the Sabbath, but it was mere religion. They were desecrating the Sabbath by oppressing widows and orphans. A few verses later, God says, learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. But this didn't happen. They continued desecrating the Sabbath through their injustice. And Israel's history shows us what happened because of this. God kicks them out of the land. They leave the land, which was meant to be a place of rest, the place where they were to enjoy relationship with God, eating the fruit of vines they did not plant, but they're booted out of the land. But in his mercy, God brings the people back. He restores them to the land. But even then, the people's hearts aren't changed. And so if you read Nehemiah, which tells the history of return from exile, Nehemiah's terrified by people working on the Sabbath because, well, God may well boot us out of the land again. All of this is background to help us understand the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. It helps us understand a claim Jesus makes about himself that he is Lord of the Sabbath. So with that overview of Sabbath, we're picking up the events in Mark 2, verse 23. It's a Sabbath, which we know is taken really seriously by Jewish religious leaders. It's a Sabbath, and Jesus' disciples shock the religious leaders by what they do. So please have a look in your Bible at Mark chapter 2, verse 23. This is verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now, they weren't being accused of stealing. The Jewish law allowed people to take leftover grain from a field if they needed. The issue is, it's a Sabbath and they're not resting. They're walking, that's work, and they're harvesting, processing food to eat. The Pharisees, like the prophet Jeremiah, are troubled. They say, "This is not on." Jesus' response is, "You guys don't know the Bible." Verse 25, he answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." You can read the details of this event for yourself. It's in 1 Samuel 21. The context is, David's been anointed the future king of Israel, but Saul is still on the throne. And Saul's hunting David down. David's fleeing for his life, doesn't have any food, so he goes into the tabernacle to ask for food. And he takes the only food the priest has, 5 loaves of bread that were laid in the presence of God, that the law said only priests can eat this bread. But the priest gives this bread to David and he eats it. And as you read 1 Samuel 21 and on it goes, it seems strange. David, the priest, they're never condemned for this. His right to do this. Jesus says, there's something similar going on with me and the Sabbath. Now, Jesus isn't saying people are more important than rules. Jesus isn't saying, yeah, God's got his ways, but if you've got a good enough reason you think you can ignore it, then don't worry, you're smarter than God. No, Jesus' point is, David was the little m Messiah, the anointed king of Israel. And like David's mission was urgent so he could eat the bread, Jesus' mission as Messiah is urgent. People need to hear the good news. So he has authority to use the Sabbath to complete his mission because he is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 27. Then he, this is Jesus, said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." What does it mean when Jesus says, "The Son of Man," which is why I've told him himself, "I am Lord of the Sabbath"? What's he mean? It's a clear statement of authority. He has authority over the Sabbath. It hints to Jesus' divinity. Because who gave the commandments about the Sabbath? God did. God freed Israel from slavery. God rested after the work of creation. Who other than the Creator, the Savior, the Lawgiver, who else could be called Lord of the Sabbath? This is a huge claim about Jesus' authority. But there's a more specific thing Jesus means by Lord of the Sabbath. And we see it clearly another time Jesus is in a synagogue on the Sabbath. This time, Jesus is there and it feels like a setup. On one side of the room you've got Jesus. On the other side you've got the religious leaders, most likely Pharisees. And in the middle is a man whose hand is shriveled up and unusable. It feels like a setup. All eyes are on Jesus. We know his disciples play fast and loose with the Sabbath. We know he thinks he's Lord of the Sabbath. What's he going to do now? So this is verse 1 of Mark chapter 3. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Now, what's the deal? What's the problem with healing on a Sabbath? Well, healing, that's doctoring, that's work. You can't work on the Sabbath. And I take it, this bloke's been like this for ages. It's not like he's going to die from it. If Jesus respects the Sabbath, it can wait until tomorrow. But Jesus deeply respects the Sabbath. He knows what the Sabbath is really about, and so today is the day to heal the man. Verse 3, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now, before we get to the main thing, Jesus asks, is the Sabbath about saving life or killing? The Pharisees are speechless. They don't answer. At least they don't answer Jesus. But they answer as they go out and plot murder. They're so intent on keeping their old wineskins. They're so intent on preserving their power, they'll condemn Jesus for healing whilst they plot murder on the Sabbath. But their conspiracy is not simply about power. They can't see. They're so obsessed with the sign, they miss the reality. The Sabbath was a sign pointing to God's work, a sign pointing to God rescuing, freeing, enslaving, and saving people, a sign pointing to rest and relationship with God. But they're so caught up on the sign, they miss the reality. The Sabbath was just a sign. It'd be like planning to go to Rainbow Beach, but you stop at the first sign you see and you lay out your towel and you put up an umbrella and you sit back and you enjoy the sign, but the sign's there to get you to the real thing. The Sabbath was a sign pointing to the reality of Christ. But they're so worried about the Sabbath rules, they fail to see that the Lord of the Sabbath and God's salvation is standing right there in front of them. That's what Jesus is doing with his question, which is lawful on the Sabbath? He's pointing past the sign to the reality himself. The Sabbath is about doing good. The Sabbath is about saving life, which isn't just about healing, saving physical life. It's about saving for eternity. What does it mean Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is about salvation. Jesus came to bring the real, true and lasting Sabbath, eternal salvation, eternal rest, eternal relationship with God. That's what it means for Jesus to be Lord of the Sabbath. For some of us, all this talk about Lord of the Sabbath makes us ask the question, do we have to keep the Sabbath? We're thinking, if I'm following Jesus, if I'm taking God seriously, then are there things that I'm not allowed to do on Saturday or Sunday? Asking, do I have to keep the Sabbath? Or even, how do I keep the Sabbath? That's the wrong question. That's the question you ask when you're looking at the sign but missing the reality. If you're trusting in Jesus, it's not about, do I have to keep the Sabbath, but you get to enjoy God's rest. You get to receive the reality of the Sabbath. Number one, Jesus has done the work for us. He has lived the perfect, sinless, spotless life, yet he died the death we deserve to die, and he did that so you can be forgiven and have a right relationship with God. Israel's Sabbath was pointing to resting in relationship with God. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. We can receive that reality. This is the grace, not works thing. Stop working to get yourself in God's good books. You can't keep enough Sabbaths to do that, but you can trust in Jesus. This is the rest we really need. The break we really need, the rest from sin, a break from working for God's favour, instead rest in Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. So that's number one. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The reality of forgiveness and resting in God and relationship with God, we find it fully and truly in Jesus. Number two, if Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, that does change how we live and work. Now, asking questions like, am I allowed to wash the car on Sunday, or can I check email on Saturday? That's the wrong question to ask. Resting in Christ isn't about what you're not allowed to do. It's being free to rely and trust in Him every day and have rest built into the rhythms of life. One of the reasons we work ourselves to the bone is we believe everything depends on me. We can't take a break because if I don't do it, who else will? God's surely not going to do it. And I'm preaching to myself here. Deep down in our heart, is this what we believe? Who else is going to provide? Who else is going to pay the bills? We work ourselves to the bone because we think everything depends on me. Maybe we refuse to rest because we work to get meaning, to be recognized. We're striving to create a legacy. We want our life to have been worth something, for people to look up to us and remember us when we're gone. Jesus came to give eternal life, eternal rest. It makes all of those other things we are striving for look petty. We work ourselves to the bone because we believe the things we get from work are better than God. God created the world for rest and relationship with Him, but we work and work because we want to keep up with the Joneses. We want our place to be as impressive as theirs. We want a nicer this and a nicer that, and we work and work to get it, to get out of the debt that we've got in because we've got it. But Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He worked all the way to the cross so we can enjoy knowing God, loving God, relationship with Him. If you need rest, if you need restoration, come, rest in Jesus, because He is the Lord of Sabbath rest. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You. Because you are the God who is at rest. You are not in turmoil or toil, but you have rested from your work in creation. We praise you because the goal of creation isn't turmoil and toil, but is resting in relationship with you. We praise you for the Lord Jesus, the one whom the Sabbath points to, because he has won full and free salvation for anyone who trusts in him. Please help us give up our endless toil and rest in Christ. Help us rest in Him for salvation, realizing we cannot please You apart from Him, that we cannot free ourselves from sin or make ourselves righteous, but through faith in Jesus, we receive these as a gift. Help us rest in Him. And may we trust You in our work, knowing You are the one who gives the growth. Knowing You never sleep, so that means we can. Knowing that we cannot earn eternal recognition through our work, but we can receive eternal life in Christ. We are tired and weary, and yet we fail to come to the one who is Lord of the Sabbath. Please draw us near to yourself today and give us true rest in Christ. Amen.